in the process of looking, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nothing, no.
We're in the process of looking at the different ways that God tested man or tried to give him a chance. And so the next, where we are now is they're being tested without any kind of law. And so let's go to Genesis 6:4. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So this is the first mention of giants. Now there's two words for giants, and we're not going to they're mentioned all over the place, but the two words are Nephaim or Nephilim and Raphaim or Rapha or Raphaim. So we're just going to look where it's translated as giants. So now let's go to Numbers 13. This is the report of the spies, that the 12 spies were sent into the promised land. And these, Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it, let's go up and get them. But the 10, starting in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw and that are men of stature, of great stature, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So this, more than likely, in the way this is read anyway, to me, the fact that the giants were in the land was what scared off the 10 of the 12 that went up to spy out the land. Now, well, let's keep going. Now, it's just blew me away that there was this many. Let's go to Goliath at 1 Samuel 17. Let's just start in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephraim's Dam. Anyway, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the side, on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, cubits here, we've talked about this many times, but normal word in cubit language, if it's normally applied to height of people or almost anything, then it's 18 inches. But if it's a royal cubit, it's 25 inches. So if it's talking about things in the temple. So here, Goliath was 6 cubits. So that means he's in excess of 9 feet tall. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of a spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So this is the famous Goliath that David slew with a slingshot. So it was over 9 feet tall. Now, again, the reason we're studying this is because this came there in a period of time in which there was no law. And so we're going to look at a few more.
Wait, they had law at this time. The law was given at the time.
No, the giants, I know. Okay. I meant to say, the giants came into being at the time and there's no law.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say that right. All right, go to Deuteronomy 3. Verse 11. This is when Israel conquers Og, whoever Og is. The king of Bashan, so he is. But anyway, starting in verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron, and is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof after the cubit of man. So, anyway, I just want us to look and see how many times giants are involved here in this Israel trying to take the land back or trying to get the land. So let's go now to Joshua 12. We're just going to look at one verse. I mean, I'm not going to read the whole thing around it. We're just going to read the verse that the word giants are in. So go to Joshua 12, excuse me, verse 4. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants, that dwelt at Ashtaroth, And I agree. So now let's go to 13, chapter 13, verse 12. All the kingdom of Og and Bashan, well, it talks about him again, which reigned in Ashtaroth, blah, 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 who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. All right, now 15. Verse 8. The reason I'm doing this, maybe it isn't as smart as anybody else, but I couldn't believe how many times the word, I didn't realize that giants were part of in the territory of Canaan when they were to take Canaan over. Did you?
Yeah, I
kind of
thought they were gone by then.
Yeah, I thought they were gone. But anyway, verse 13, chapter 15.
Except Goliath.
Yeah, the Goliath I thought was the only one. We're going to 15, yeah. Okay. Verse 8. And the border went up by the valley of the sons of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom, which westward, which is the end of the valley of the giants northward. So again, the land of the giants went right up next to the Jebusites, right next to Jerusalem. Now, has anybody else seen any of these things on the History Channel recently where they found these skeletons? Huge, 9, 10, 12 feet tall men. Part of them were found in Israel. But it's, from my standpoint, they're always in these History Channel programs that talk about how that these giants are from outer space. In other words, they're aliens, showing how the aliens came and taught people how to do everything. And so I've never heard this. Maybe I'm just dumb, which probably is not, maybe. Where did I say go next? 17? Joshua 17. Verse 14 and 15. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut it down for thyself. For there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants is Mount Ephraim. Is that land too narrow for thee? So again, Joseph had to go up and defeat the giants in order for him to get his inheritance. Okay, go to Joshua 18. Verse 16, just one verse. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the giants of the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, into the side of the Jebusite on the south. And Alex, anyway, you got the picture. Now let's just look at a few verses in 2 Samuel. And I want to get this in our heads, and then we'll try to understand what this means and what happened when no law, when they all came from. 1 Chronicles. No, I didn't say that. 2 Samuel, chapter 21. Verse 15. This is about 980 BC now. And verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi, whoever that is, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. So anyway, we're back. Now we're getting, it just keeps getting nearer and nearer to where we are. Go to verse 18, chapter 18, I mean. No, chapter 21, verse 18. Didn't we just study that?
Which
18
is 2?
Say it again.
Oh, verse 18. Yeah. And it came to pass after this that there was slain in a battle with the Philistines of Gob, then Sibekai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. I can't believe how many times I've read this and I didn't pay any attention to the giant. Verse 20. Now, and there was yet a battle of Gath, where there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he was also born to the giants. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. And these 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. All right.
What if they're giant women, too?
I hope so. Chapter 23, this will be the last one. No, let's not even go there. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 20, and that'll be the last one.
Where'd we go?
1 Chronicles. Right after 2 Kings. Chapter 20. This may be the same one we just read in the Chronicles version of it, but in verse, chapter 20, verse 6, there was war at Gath. There was a man of great stature whose fingers and toes were 20 and were 4 and 20, 6 in each hand and 6 in each foot, and also was the son of the giant. Yeah, that was the same one we just read. Now, in some of these places, that I get tired of doing, and I'm sure you're tired of it, it talks about giants that were bigger than, taller than 9 feet, as high as 12 feet in terms of cubits. How did we miss this? How did we never even look at this before? I don't. And when you look and talk, when it talks just about the tribe, the Nephraim and the Raphaim, it's all over the place. The point of it all, and then we'll stop for right now, is they were tested in innocency, and the fall happened. They were tested without any law at all, and And then the giants came, and the intercourse with the women, and all the mess that happened afterward. And so next we'll study the next one is when it was just the restraints of human law. So, but I don't feel like talking anymore because I'm not feeling well. Any thoughts about all these weird giants?
I'm thinking in terms of the symbolism of it in that, you know, Gideon was another along the same lines of testing the way that he had 300 men up against 10,000, whatever it was. And it's always about the odds are overwhelming against us. And the giants, of course, scare us.
That's another story. That's scary as hell.
Yeah. And yet.
And the spies, ten of the spies, only Joshua and Caleb gave a favorable report that they were meat for them. They were food for them.
Yeah.
And then David's, probably Goliath was, I didn't look at this for sure, but I would bet that Goliath may be the last of the giants. And so when David slew Goliath, that was the end of the giants, I think.
Or his family, anyway, because we read about the four brothers of his brothers just now. Goliath's brother.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? Response?
So what is in the context, everything, all this to explain what?
From the beginning of creation, God has always given man a chance. First it was created in innocency and he fell. Ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then he was given no law whatsoever. And that was just this rampant crap that's going on with him. And then he was going to be given the laws of human restraint, which is called the Noachian law, which we'll get to tomorrow. And it was nothing but idolatry. And then we get to the law of one family. That we was selected one family to represent the human race. And what happened? Finally, they sent prophets and wise men, and they killed them all, and then finally they sent his son. And when God sent his son and they killed him, that was over. The human race was dead from then on. So that's what we're studying, is how in each of these areas of history, God gave man the chance to be truly his children. But in each and every case, it failed. Including with Jesus. Because the last thing he did, the first thing he did, one of the first things he did after his resurrection was he blew on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And seven of his disciples left and went back to their own fishermen ways. They didn't just go fishing like we go fishing for a weekend. The word means they went back to their old lives, just like we do. And so, it's the explanation of why the cross is so necessary. Not that Christ died on the cross, but that you died on the cross. And that the preaching of the cross, I pray, preaches repentance anytime you're not abandoned, when you haven't abandoned yourself. The purpose of us studying this is to see that every possible way man was given a chance. And he failed all the time. Okay? Now I want to cement that in your head so that you don't get seduced by people that are trying to tell you how to get something from God. It's over. All right, take the big guy.